And now if you'll turn back into your hymnal to Psalms 104, which is found on page 826 in the hymnal, responsive palm singing. Reading. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, and cover yourself with light as with a garment. You have stretched out the heavens like a tent, and have laid the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot, and ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations, so that it should never be shaken. You covered it with the deep as with the garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place where you appointed for them. You set a bound which they could not pass, so that they might not cover the earth. You made springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. Above the springs, the birds of the air have their nests. They sing among the branches. From your lofty place, you water the mountains. From the fruit of your work, the earth is satisfied. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, whom you formed to play in it. They all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to the Lord in whom I rejoice. Let sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. Then we'll skip over to verses 34 to 41. And this can be found in your Hebrew Bible, Pew Bible, on page 458. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings so that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tell the wider scans of the heavens? When the dust runs into a mass and the clouds cling together, can you hunt the prey for the lion? Or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert, who prays for the raven its prey? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for the lack of food? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for today comes from the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. You can find that in your pew Bible in the New Testament, starting on page 207. Hear these words. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness, and because of this he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. We've been reading through Mark in several of the last several weeks. Today, let's turn to Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. You can find that in your pew Bible in the New Testament, page 44. Good story. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so for you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. WWJD question mark. A few years ago, there were these stretchy silicone bracelets in all sorts of colors that were popular with the kids that said WWJD question mark. You can still buy them if you look in the right places online. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, clearly this phrase borders on a cliche, but when you think about it, it's really quite an important idea. What would Jesus do in a similar situation to what I'm facing? What would Jesus do? I believe that this simple idea is at the heart of some of today's scripture lessons and at the heart of what each of us needs to consider when thinking about your personal stewardship and giving money back to the church. In Mark's story, James and John were seeking greatness, and so they asked Jesus to grant them the seats on either side of his heavenly throne. Jesus told them that he couldn't deliver this, and quite frankly, they still didn't understand the kingdom of heaven definition of greatness. So Jesus called the disciples and he said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." What would Jesus do? Well, it seems pretty clear that Jesus became a servant of his people, and we ought to do the same. We get another clue about how we are to respond by reading carefully from Hebrews. We're told more about the nature of Jesus. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. What would Jesus do? It seems pretty clear that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered, and we ought to do the same. Obedience is tough for most of us, but it is critically important if we take our discipleship seriously. Let me offer you one final scripture passage from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. This came to my mind when I was thinking about Jesus' character. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What would Jesus do? Again, it seems pretty clear that Jesus humbled himself in service, and he was obedient to God, and we ought to do the same. If you look it up in the dictionary, obedience means the act or practice of obeying, dutiful or submissive compliance. And that's a tall order. For Christians, that means that we are to follow God's rules as described in the Bible. We are to follow the will of God as modeled by Jesus. What exactly does that look like? Servanthood and obedience to God in the model of Jesus looks like setting up tables, folding clothes, talking to people, and helping neighborhood families find clothes that fit at our quarterly clothing giveaways. It looks like going into local prisons and through honest testimony and humble presence, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It looks like walking in the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk in solidarity with our sisters and brothers who walk miles each day to find clean water and food to feed their families. Servanthood and obedience to God in the model of Jesus means taking the leap of faith that is required to give back a full 10% of your money, God's money, to the ministries of this church. This doesn't mean seeking greatness for yourself, but rather simply and joyfully seeking to do God's will. Nothing more and nothing less. What would Jesus do? Jesus emptied himself and gave himself fully to God Almighty. Jesus is asking you to empty yourself, to become fully obedient to God, to become a servant for others, and to walk with him. Because whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen.